Yo, it's the Breakfast Club, bringing flavor to the game. At the Nordic Gourmet Days, ain't no one to say. We rockin' suits and ties, making more.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Breakfast Club. This is the show where we talk about domain investing, life, and anything in between. I'm happy to announce that Braylon and Alan are still here with me today, and we're going to dive in some very interesting topics. But before we get into it, I'd like to welcome again Alan and Braylon. Alan, Braylon, welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing good. Good.
Happy to be back.
As a tradition of the Breakfast Club, since it's already the second episode, let's start to where are we at today, like in which city?
I'm in Los Angeles.
I'm in Boston, so it's still the morning hours here, so I guess it could still be called Breakfast Club.
Yeah. So for me, it's tea time. It's like 5 p.m. I'm in Italy right now, back at home. So yeah, man, it's good to chat again. And I heard you guys have been traveling a little bit. Like, Braylon, I think you were to London. How was that?
Yeah, it was a good conference. I spent a couple of weeks in France first, and then ended up in London. And it was bigger than last year. It was a good show. I'm glad that I went.
Who were the main attendees? Was it a lot of domain investors?
There were more domain investors than previous years, but it was still a lot of people that were doing blockchain stuff and registries, registrars, that sort of thing. So which is not quite as fun for me. I prefer the investors. I like to see all my old friends, but it was definitely there was definitely more investors this time around.
So, Braylon, if you had to say like one main takeaway, you know, like one lesson or something that stuck with you from the conference, can you name one?
Yeah, there was a conversation. I forget the guy's name. He's from ICANN. He was talking about the dates for the new TLD application window. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. It's definitely coming, and now there's dates. 2027, the window opens. I mean, there's still a ways away till we're going to see some more extensions, but at least they're starting to put together a framework.
How does that impact both of you, the new TLDs that come out?
It really doesn't impact me at all. I mean, I played around with some of the new TLDs, but it's such a small fraction of my portfolio. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I once brokered a new TLD, but acquisition rather, but I don't think I've ever sold one of my own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Giuseppe, have you seen anything with, do you expect any impact to you the way your business works with new TLDs?
I don't think so, because I'm specifically working with .com. I pretty much do not touch other extensions. But yeah, I just curious that what kind of extensions are going to come up, and just the new gTLDs are going to increase the supply of domain names. So I don't know. It's hard to say. So one thing I'm curious about. So is it actually 2027? You're going to have the release of the new extensions, or the program starts and then it's going to be the auction, whatever, like, you know, all the process there.
Yeah, I think the program's. That? I think the program starts, but I don't remember all the dates. I took pictures of the guy's slides, but it was after 2 weeks of traveling, so I was a little bleary eyed.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, that's super interesting. Something that we can also, like, you know, chat a little bit later, like if we have a little bit more time. But so for today, we kind of wanted to talk about this concept called the flywheel. And this is something that really stuck with me when we were in Stockholm and we were having breakfast. And Alan was mentioning that related to domain investing. And just for those of you that are not familiar, the flywheel concept, which is what we're going to talk today, comes from Jim Collins and his book Good to Great. So he describes it as a process where small, consistent actions build up momentum over time, making the wheel turn faster and more powerfully as you keep putting energy into it. So Jim Collins, I think, like, he also had expanded it and created this monograph. It's called Turning the Flywheel, which I actually bought and I keep it on my desk because I love the book. It's just a very tiny, like, nice things to have. And it dives deeper into how business can actively build and accelerate the flywheels. So, for example, like big companies like Amazon are good examples of the flywheel concept in action. So for example, in the case of Amazon, they started by offering a wide selection of products at low prices, which then attracts more customers, which then allows them to reduce cost even further, and then it creates this self-reinforcing cycle of growth. And then you can see the pattern in like all the different industries, including domain investing. So today I kind of want to explore with you guys, how does that apply to domain investing? Because I think it breaks down to a few stages. Like, you know, the first is where do you find and where do you acquire domain names? Then the optimization part, so like where you list them and how you list them, how are you doing sales? And the third part is just the sale and reinvestment. And this approach is really about playing the long game. And so every acquisition, every optimization, like it sales, just adds momentum to the flywheel. And it goes faster and faster. So, Alan, you have like such a good insight about all the GoDaddy customers and like how the business they run. So I kind of wanted to see like if you guys internally already analyzed this flywheel concept and how do you see that working at GoDaddy and for you?
Yeah, so really the idea isn't that novel, right? But what we focus on is optimizing the flywheel for all customers. So how do we help it make it easier to buy great domain names? How do we help you sell domain names at a higher velocity and put more money in your pocket? And then how do we help you manage those domain names? And as you focus in as a domain investor on each of those, I would even just take the GoDaddy element out of it. And as a domain investor, you should be focused in on each element, whether it's acquiring good names, selling at a higher velocity, and managing your inventory. And you should look at each of them independently and say, mm-hmm. Hey, how can I optimize for each of them? Whether you're a large seller, whether you're someone who's just getting started today, the concept really is the same. It's just to your point, how quickly it's spinning and how big the flywheel becomes. So as a new domain investor, you're focused in on buying inventory. And so you obviously have to own inventory in order to make any money. So you want to buy good domain names. And so you're going to optimize for how you're buying your domains. And so you need to decide on, we talked a little bit last episode, and what you're going to invest in, what your strategy is going to be, and you're going to play around with it and optimize that. You're then going to say, okay, how do I accelerate my sales? And so you're going to list them on places like Afternic, on places like Cedo, on places like Squad Help now, Atom. And you're going to figure out how do you optimize for the greatest return there. And then you're going to manage them over time. You're going to say, do I need to keep these domain names? Are these domain names worth holding on? Did I make mistakes on acquiring them that it's better for me to shed the inventory? How do I manage my renewals? And really, each of those steps are independent of one another. They end up playing into each other, but each of those steps you should be focused in on. And so what you see over time is, if you optimize for each step, they end up contributing to each other. If you manage your inventory better, you have more money to spend on buying good inventory. If you buy great inventory, you sell more. If you sell more, now you have more money to manage and buy. And so optimizing for each one really is going to be able to accelerate what you can become.
All right, sounds great. And so let's take a sidestep. And I wanted to ask Braden, so the first step, which is really to acquire domain names. So Braden, how does it work for you? Like I'm actually very curious how it started for you, like the first time that you were starting investing in domain names. Where do you look at buying domain names and just to start your flywheel?
Yeah, so you know, all the things that Alan said from a logistics standpoint apply to me as well, but my acquisitions are a little bit different. So the way my flywheel works is basically relationships. So I'm buying premium domains, and the premium domains are not names that are expiring, well, very, very rarely. Yeah. Right, so I'm buying them primarily through brokers or hunters, you know, other they're not exactly investors, but the hunters are people that go out and find the deals and then bring them to me, and they get paid a commission. And then investors that buy and flip names, and then investors that want to sell a name just to generate cash. They're looking for liquidity because they probably have been sitting on it for a long time, and they know that they can get, you know, 50,000 or 100,000 wholesale And they just can't wait for that $500,000 sale anymore.
Mm.
So it's creating that network. There are, you know, bankruptcy attorneys, there are founders and VCs. So there's a network of people that both acquire high value names and sell high value names. And I've been cultivating this network, these relationships for many, many years. And without that, my job would be much, much more difficult. It would just be me out there hunting for names all by myself. And it, you know, it takes a village. So my flywheel is all those relationships and people reaching out to me literally every day with names that they have for sale and me making offers. So it's all the inbound opportunities and the offers that I'm putting out there. And that's why I'm always buying names, because of that flywheel that's been created. And then on the other side of it, the sales side, if I have enough inventory out there, there's enough negotiations happening, then there's a pipeline of business.
All right, awesome. So let's break it like step by step. So let's talk about like the acquisition side. So you said you get a lot of inbound from, let's say, brokers or hunters or bankruptcy attorneys that just hit you up every day. Let's say on any given day, how many domains you get pitched?
I would say on average one or two when I've got people sending me just premium stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So there are more names. I get, you know, people send me a portfolio of garbage names, right? So I'm not really counting that, because people see me as a buyer. They just send me, you're like, hey, I've got this ultra premium blah, 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 you know, dot horse, because people just don't understand what a premium name is. And it's what they have. It's the best that they have. And so they think it's an amazing name, and it's just not an amazing name. So people send me tons of names every day. It's just, I just respond, no, thank you. I don't buy these kinds of names. But as far as good quality names, like high value names, it's probably more like one or two a day.
All right. Sounds good. And do you have like strict rule? Like, for example, as long as the name is good and reaches like a certain quality, will you always make an offer, or just based on, you know, how you're doing in terms of like the sales cycle? And, you know, if you got a big sale, you make more offers. Like, how does it work for you?
No, I'm an opportunistic buyer. So I'm always buying. So, you know, it's just a matter of if the name makes sense. And if they come in at a super high retail price, you know, when someone says, hey, I've got this great .com, we want $2 million. You know, the chances are they're not going to take $125,000 for that name.
Sure.
So I usually won't make an offer if it's that big a discrepancy. But if they come in and they're asking, you know, $400,000 for a name that I think is worth $2 million, then I'll make an offer for $150,000 or $200,000.
Mm. So let's say, like, you still have a negotiation ratio where, like, okay, if the price... it's somewhere like, I don't know, I just don't want to throw numbers there, but like, you know, 3-5x what you want to offer, you still make an offer in general, like regardless of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes yesterday, for example, it was a broker that sent me a portfolio of names that have actually, I know they've been on the market for about a month.
Hmm.
And I was told the seller is looking for liquidity very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I made offers on a bunch of names at substantially less than the asking price because of the circumstances, because he might take it if he's looking for quick liquidity.
Mm.
So it just depends. But if it's somebody that's just got a high value name and they're looking to sell it for retail, then there's probably not going to, a deal's probably not going to be had.
So pretty much you're saying that, you know, the longer a name stays on the market, you know, the more likely it is that, you know, you can make an offer at a lower price and probably get a deal. Is that correct?
And the circumstances of the seller. The seller could be looking for liquidity for a variety of reasons and is just trying to dump his portfolio, his or her, a name, or just, it just depends on what they're trying to do. There are names that have been on the market for a long time, you know, 2 years, and then finally, they come down to my price after 2 years because they couldn't find any other buyer. Right. And, you know, they wanted 250,000 and they finally came around 2 years later and said, okay, we'll take your 25,000.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Awesome. And I mean, of course, like Britain has, you know, you have enough capital and you've been in the game for so long and, you know, you can focus on really premium domains. But I want to discuss a little bit with Alan. For, let's say, somebody who's starting out and he has like a smaller capital, let's say like 10,000 or 50,000 or like something like, you know, around their range. How do you see the you know, people in the GoDaddy customers just approaching that first step of the flywheel in acquiring? Do they go to auctions? Like how do they buy domains?
Yeah, so I think just to clarify, Braden's on the exact same flywheel as everyone else. He's just optimizing the different stages of the flywheel differently than other people might be optimizing it. So yeah, he has said, hey, how am I going to acquire great inventory? He says, I'm not just going to go about it the standard way of buying on expiry or buying from certain marketplaces, but I'm going to build relationships so I have better opportunities to acquire names at great prices. Same thing on the sell side. He's building relationships that feed and then that accelerates his flywheel. And so really anyone should be looking for niches where they might bring something from outside the domain space. Let's say that you're a marketer. You might have connections in the marketing world where marketers have acquired domain names in the past that they're no longer using. And you can say, I'll buy domain names that you're no longer using for your campaigns. Or you might have connections with marketing firms where you could bring them domain names that you feel comfortable hand registering domain names and bringing them to them on the sales side of it. And so really it's about how you as an individual can leverage your strengths to maximize each step of that flywheel. For the average domain investor getting into the business, as you're kind of learning your way into that, the best way to acquire inventory is going to be through the expiry markets. So whether that be GoDaddy expiry, whether it be Cedo, Dynadot, looking at the expiry markets for domain names that fall within your budget. That you can register, that you feel confident in, is the best way to acquire names if you're trying to get into the flywheel with no previous experience.
Sounds good. So you're saying like auctions and, you know, like in different venues, and are they like very competitive at GoDaddy? Like, are there like prices, would you say, that are outside the budgets of most investors, or where do you see that?
Yeah, so I think as a new domain investor and as an old domain investor, that anytime you're bidding on anything, you should be trying to evaluate what you think you could sell and what your ROI that you're hoping for and the time that you're going to have to hold it for. And so there's steals on every auction platform. I mean, there's people buying closeouts on GoDaddy auctions every day that turn around and sell it within the next couple of years for 50x the value. So there's steals to be had. Sometimes that's going to take a bit more work, where you're looking for that needle in the haystack. You're using expired domain names based on filtering that you have your own algorithm that you found this way to find those domain names. But those steals are still there. There definitely is more risk when you're bidding for higher dollar domain names. Like if Braden's not going to pay $10,000 for a domain name, there's probably a risk of you paying over $10,000 for it. But that is not to say that it's not right for other people. Everyone's going to have a different model, and so paying more than if everyone didn't pay more than Braden, then Braden would win all the domain names. But there definitely is opportunity at all ranges of it, and it's just really the risk appetite and your understanding of the value of a domain name and who's going to buy it.
Sounds good. All right, awesome. So let's go to the second part, and let's get back to Braden. So once you actually have bought the domain names and, you know, you've found it and you finally domain goes into your account, so what are the steps for you to optimize as much as possible the sale potential of these names? Do you list them in certain places? Is there any best practice that you can recommend to, you know, newer investors that, you know, they should be doing if they don't? So what's your strategy in terms of optimization?
So for me, most of my high-value names get represented by Hilco.
All right.
So that's first, but I do what everybody else does is I get them listed everywhere, every marketplace. So my strategy, and this is the, what I recommend to everybody else, is the more exposure you have for your names, the better, right? So if they, you want them in the GoDaddy Reg path, right? You want a Dan or an Afternic Lander or an FD Lander. You want your Whois public, right? Yep. You want them listed everywhere. You can list them at Adam if it's a brandable name, or I mean, I've got a lot of my premium names now listed at Adam and have sold several recently through Adam. So, submit them in a marketplace and a brandable marketplace if it makes sense, and then all the other CEDOs of the world, right? Because different buyers look in different places. And you want it listed everywhere, and just adjust your price accordingly to cover the commission.
I agree that really you should be listing everywhere. So you should be on Afternic, you should be on CEDO. If you can be on the brandable marketplaces, the more exposure that you get, the better. And so I like emphasizing that, because people are always surprised. Oh, why would you say that if you work for GoDaddy Afternic? Because it's the right thing to do. If you're a domain seller, you want the maximum exposure. So it's valuable to you to list it in every place that you can.
And when you talk about all those places, how do you look at pricing? Like, what is do you have any, like, Brent, for you, is there any special rule about, like, a special ratio, for example, about how much you buy versus how much you list it for? Like, how do you think new investors should look at pricing?
Yeah, so I think it depends on what area of the market you're focused on. So I'm looking for 10x. Now that's my average. I just bought and priced a name yesterday for 8x because I thought that was the fair retail price. I just sold a name, actually a seven-figure name, and it sold for 15x.
Oh wow! Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. So when I'm buying a name, right? Because you make money on the buy side. I'm shooting for paying 10% of what I think I can sell it for. But it's not a hard and fast rule. There have been offers that have come through for a name, and it's three times what I paid. And I've taken the deal because I figure, you know, I've had this name a long time. I haven't got a lot of action on it. I'm just going to turn this name, and I'm going to take that money and parlay it into the next investment. And sometimes, you know, a name isn't as good as I thought it was, right? And so then I'll sell it for less. Then there's been times where I've raised the price because I get a lot of action on a name. I just had an offer on a name. I had raised the price, and it's about 20x, and I turned it down. I had the name a long time. I get a lot of inquiries on it, so I keep raising the price. So you just kind of have to use your intuition and study the market, pay attention to inquiries that you get. And also, if you look at how much a name is being used, right? So a lot of people look at how many TLDs are registered, which I always say, don't just look at how many are registered. Look at what's happening with those. They're all sitting in investor hands, and none of them are developed. That's not a good sign. If all of them are registered by one company, then it might be good that company would be interested in the TLD that you have because they've proven to be a buyer, but you only have one potential buyer. So that's not good, right? So you have to take a look at what's happening with those TLDs. But the other metric is how often that term is being used by companies. So you can search in Crunchbase or LinkedIn or some other business platform that has, you know, company listings, and just look at the popularity of that name, right? And that can help you determine the value. And so you might do that when you buy it, but then you'll do it again, let's say every year or in 5 years. You've gotten some inquiries, you haven't gotten some inquiries, take a look at the usage, right? Is there more or less usage than 5 years ago when you bought it? So Alan, you were gonna say something?
Yeah, I think on the TLD count, I agree. I would just use it as one signal There isn't any one signal by itself that should be used when pricing your domain name or when determining how much you should acquire a domain for, but it definitely is a signal you should take into consideration. So whether it be number of TLDs, number of domains in usage, whether it be Google search volume, CPC, those are all signals that you should use to contribute to how you're going to bid or how you're going to price a domain name. And then rewinding to the beginning of the conversation of what multiple, I think that as you get into more liquid domain names like Braden invests in, Braden invests in very liquid names. They're oneword.coms, they're short .coms typically, and that means that he could sell it quicker and there's typically more demand for those. And so the level of investment on more liquid domain names, people are paying more for those names, and so there's a lower multiple of what you would price it for. If you're buying a name in expiry, oftentimes you're buying a domain name for $100 and you're listing it for sale for $3,000. And that's because you have a lower sales velocity and less liquidity. So it's not to say those names are more profitable. It's to say you have to sell more of those domain names to pay for the other domain names that aren't going to sell that you've acquired. And so as you go into lower liquidity names, you do have to have a higher multiple to be able to cover your full portfolio.
Right. It's just a totally different strategy. And I don't want 100,000 names. I don't want to have over $1 million in reg fees and have all this inventory. And it's a lot of work, right? Selling names every day. I sell one name a week. Right, you know, that's it, and my dollar volume is much higher than the guys that have 100,000 names, but their sales, you know, they have a lot more sales, number of sales. They do a lot more work, and they have a lot higher overhead. Now, there's a lot of it's capital intensive when I'm buying names, so I'm spending a lot more, and I don't have the same margins, but I make it up in dollars. So I like my strategy, but you know, there isn't one best way to do it, right? It's whatever works. Whatever
I think that's the beauty. Yeah, that's exactly kind of, I know we need to wrap up here, but yeah. That's the beauty of the flywheel is everyone is operating their own business and they have to optimize for each of the phases of that business. So what works for Braden, he's optimized the buy, sell, and manage completely differently than what someone else might, but that doesn't mean that it won't work. So it's a matter of figuring out your strategy and going from there.
All right, guys. Awesome. I think it was like an awesome discussion. And there's so many takeaways and insights that we can take from that. But I think we're trying to shoot for like a 30 minutes podcast. Do you guys have any closing comments, any announcement, anything that you'd like to say before we wrap up?
Just figure out your strategy, build that flywheel and stick to it.
I think one thing I'd add on to that is adapt it. I mean, obviously sticking to it if it's working.
Right.
Continue. When you're first starting, you're going to make mistakes most likely. There's things you can do like using Domain Academy that Mike Seiger had created that will help you to make less of those mistakes. But you have to adapt until you find your strategy. Braden's strategy probably wasn't the one that he started with, but it's evolved over time until now he has it down to a science and he's super confident in it. That's the way it is for most domain investors as well.
That's right. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Oh, great to chat with you guys. And we'll see you in a few more weeks.
Great. Thanks, bye, guys.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.
Yo, it's the Breakfast Club, bringing flavor to the game. At the Nordic Domain Days, ain't no one to say. We rockin' suits and ties, making moves that defy.